Blog Talk Radio.
Waking up to smells of burnt rubber, smoldering campfire, and barbecue sauce. I was there. Cheering on the drivers you love and booing the ones you don't, while watching them battle the baddest track in NASCAR. You can bet I was there. Escape reality for a weekend at Talladega.
The chase for the Sprint Cup returns October 23rd through 25th. Call 1-877-GO-2-DEGA for tickets. This is more than a race. This is Talladega.
Hey, this is Austin Dillon, driver of the Dallas Chevrolet, and you're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening from Talladega. I'm Spain alongside of my good friend and CEO of Speedway, CEO of Mr. Stephen Wilson. We got a big show scheduled. Joe, that always does our invocation, he was out there running for Speedway. So let's get everything started.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. I got you. How you doing?
Well, we're doing good. We've just been running all day. Actually, I'm still on the road, coming back. But let's get this thing started, and we can talk about the rest of it. Lord, we come before you today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for a safe weekend. Pray for those that were involved in various different melees. And we ask you to watch over our show, our soldiers, all of our racers, our soldiers' families, and all that are involved with auto racing, and all that. Because you guys disappeared off.
Waking up to smells of burnt rubber, smoldering campfire, and barbecue sauce. I was there. Cheering on the drivers you love and booing the ones you don't, while watching them battle the baddest track in NASCAR. You can bet I was there. Escape reality for a weekend at Talladega.
The chase for the Sprint Cup returns October 23rd through 25th. Call 1-877-GO-2-DEGA for tickets. This is more than a race. This is Talladega.
Good evening, everybody from Talladega, Alabama. We're getting started a little bit late tonight. Tim's going to jump in here in just a couple of minutes. Sorry, everybody, on that. First thing we're going to do, we're going to bring in here to Reverend Joe. We're going to get this thing started. Good evening, Reverend Joe. How you doing tonight?
All righty. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you? Yeah, I got you. Sorry about that. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties. We're getting started just a little bit late out here. I think Tim's going to jump in here in just a minute, but we're going to get started with you, and we're going to let you get rolling.
All right.
Go ahead, Stephen and Reverend Joe. I had to call in on my cell phone. Y'all got the floor. I'm cutting the studio off. I'm right here with y'all. Y'all go ahead.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we come before you today, and we ask you for safety for everyone involved in auto racing. We thank you for your love and your appreciation of us, and how much we appreciate you. We ask you to bless all of our soldiers all over the world who are risking their lives to keep us free so we can do the thing we love. Ask you to watch over all of those involved in auto racing, all of those involved with our show, and the families of all of those involved with the military and with our auto racing. So be with us, and thank you for your protection. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Woo!
All right, Reverend Joe, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Would you let everybody know where they can follow you at? And while we got you on, tell us a little bit about how everything went there in Las Vegas this week. I know we got you on for a couple minutes this week to talk about your adventures out there. And we'll get talking a little bit about the truck race out there and the Ronnie Lunnings 350 that took place out there and the first-time winner that we're going to have on just a little bit later in the episode.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, first of all, they can reach me by phone at 951-232-7630. Our website is ontrackwithjesus.org, and my email address is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. If they wish to help us out with any financial donations, we're a 501(c)(3), fully tax-deductible, and right on the website, there's a spot where you can just click on donations and go in there and it accepts anything. And it's a pretty good system. Moving on to Vegas, it was a beautiful weekend in Vegas. Interesting in many ways. There was a lot of things going on. Had a lot of great conversations with people I haven't seen in quite a while. And John Westonley was unbelievable. Talked to him before the race. He said the truck was unbelievable. It was really great. And he felt real confident in it. Talked with Matt Crafton. Matt said he wasn't too concerned starting on the front row since John West was on the outside. And he figured he could take care of that and get it done. A few other people made a few remarks about what's John West doing up front. And I said, I don't know other than the fact that the truck's running great and he did a good job. And, boy, when he came up with the lead at the end, the crowd went crazy. That was sweet, and it was nice to see a guy like John West is a real nice fourth win like that.
Yeah, it's always good to see a first-time winner coming out of the NASCAR series. And, you know, John West Townley over the last couple of years, he's had a rough time coming out through the various series he's run within the Camper World Truck Series and NASCAR Affinity Series, although he does have a win at Daytona in the ARCA Series with Venturini Motorsports not too long ago. So, you know, but all in all, he had a very strong truck all night long. He was able to go out there and just motor on past Matt Craft and then just stayed up there all night long. You know, even guys like Eric Jones, which you would expect to be at the front of the field all night long, just didn't seem to have a chance when it come to, you know, John West all night long. It was surprising to see, especially for a team like that, you know, they do get support from Hendrick Motorsports. They're getting their engines from them. But, you know, you don't always get to talk about teams that are funded funded as a single car team or an independent team such as that, being able to go out there and do something like that, especially against some of the teams like Thor Sport or KBM.
Yeah, you know, when you're doing what he's doing, and I've been doing a similar kind of thing on the local levels myself, when you're running against teams that have plenty of money and plenty of backing, and you're trying to do it on your own, it's a tough thing. And several of us were talking before the race off to the side, and I said, you know, maybe it's because he's crashed almost every week, caught up in something every place you moved. And when he's been in the Xfinity Series, he seems to get torn up. And I made the comment that maybe it's the yellow of the truck, because I noticed that someone else was driving it in the Xfinity Series in the car and got caught up in a wreck. So I said, maybe the car needs to be a different car. We were kind of joking about the race. And several of the guys in the race commented to me that they were concerned that they didn't want to be in the outside row, because they figured that row was going to fall back. But like you said, as soon as the green came out, John West was right there. He got right in behind Matt and chased him down. I think after the late pit stop, he ended up back in fifth or sixth, as best as I could see the scoring, and still motored back up to second. And then when Matt ran out of fuel, he just motored on to win the race. I mean, those guys did one heck of a job for a small team that doesn't have the funds, like you said. That was great. I love seeing not only a first-time winner, but a guy who's had a lot of tough breaks pull out with a big win, especially at Las Vegas on a standalone show.
Yeah, at Las Vegas, you know, we were talking to Ben Kennedy's crew chief just last week about Las Vegas. And when you come to a place like Las Vegas, a lot of times when you get there, these teams, and he was talking about the fact that you get out there and it really becomes a track of who's willing to take as much downforce out of those trucks as humanly possible, who's willing to drive those trucks on the rail, just on the edge of out of control, to get around that track as fast as humanly possible without wrecking them. And it's just amazing to see that. But he had the speed all night long. He qualified very well in that truck, right on that front row, and then just maintained that position all night long. The Hendrick power underneath the hood, you know, most definitely helped him out all night long. That's without a doubt helped that team all night. And Matt Crafton, you know, unfortunately he ran out of fuel. You know, Eric Jones ran out of fuel. A lot of other drivers that had the potential to win, you know, Saturday night, they were in a fuel problem. Now listening to the team and talking, you know, afterwards, after the, you know, in their post race interviews, you know, John West Townley did say that, you know, he's got Terry Cook, a former Craftsman Truck Series winner, that's been in the series for a long time, and he credited him a lot with the fact that this win couldn't have come without him. He was coaching him throughout those final few laps on when to slow down, when he needed to get off the gas, on how much he needed to save. You know, there was times that he was only half a quarter throttle throughout most of that racetrack. And, I mean, he was maintaining still a 4 or 5 second lead, even with, you know, in a fuel conservation mode. So, I mean, that just goes to show that, you know, it takes a team to go out there and win these events, no matter where you are.
You know, that is so true. And the thing that, like I said, I've been racing myself for 50 years. And every time we see people go into fuel conservation mode, if they know what they're doing, you know, they roll out of the throttle a little sooner, they step back into it a little later, they end up actually going faster. And I never figure out why we don't learn that sometimes going slower is quicker, because you're not having the problems getting through the corner and, you know, the other risks that are involved. And he did a fantastic job keeping his head, keeping his cool, and just rolling with it. You know, and I was happy for him. I was shocked. When he got the white flag, all I was praying was that he'd make it all the way back around and not have any kind of trouble. And like you said, he did a great job. all the way through. And you talked about the guys that fell out because of fuel, running out of fuel. Everybody forgets. They say, oh, he got lucky. No, he didn't get lucky. First of all, you got to build a vehicle. Then you got to get it to a racetrack. Then you got to get it in the show. Then you got to finish the race in order to do anything. And not only did he do all those things right, he not only he was aware of what he was doing at the end, conserved enough fuel, and rolled it in the victory lane. And people can say whatever they want. Lucky, not talented, talented, whatever. You got to give the man a ton of credit. When he was under fire, he did exactly what he needed to do.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it takes a lot. I mean, it's not as easy. You know, people can sit in the armchair quarterback, as we say a lot of times, and if it was easy, anybody could go and do this, and not everybody, regardless of the funding or not. It's not as easy as it may look. You know, we've seen on social media a lot of times on a lot of the flack that sometimes that John West Talent gets because of this. And it's not because of a lack of talent by any means. It's, you know, a lot of times in these situations is, and it could be anybody out there. You know, race car drivers, and when you go and get into a race, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, take a look at Jimmy Johnson this weekend. You know, he had a $5 part that took him out of the championship out there. I mean, that's just things that happen in racing. You can't down a driver or down a team because of something happens. I mean, it's easy to go an armchair quarterback some of these things at these times, but, you know, you can't always take and, you know, blame a driver or blame a crew for every little incident that happens. And, you know, you have to give the team a ton of credit for being able to put this together and continuing to go to the track week in and week out and improving themselves. I mean, this isn't the first time this year that John West Talley, you know, this is a win for him. This is a win for the team. But this isn't the first time that they've come close. Earlier this season, they've had the opportunity to be right there and almost pulled it off earlier in the season. And if it wouldn't have been for a fuel conservation issue, they would have probably been in victory lane earlier this year and already have done this earlier this year, and probably this would be their second win. Unfortunately, it was a fuel mileage race, and it took them out of contention. But they weren't the only ones in that aspect. So, I mean, you know, we can sit and play armchair quarterback all night long on who, what, where, and when.
Well, you know, sometimes you're the windshield and sometimes you're the bug. And the thing is, regardless of the guys that ran out of fuel, John had to be running the race, keeping the truck together, hitting his marks, and there in order to win at the end. It wouldn't have mattered if half the field ran out of fuel. If he wasn't in position, hadn't conserved fuel properly, he wouldn't have been there to win. And I give him a tremendous amount of credit. And also, when you've been racing as long as he has and have the experience he has, to turn around and take advice from another driver and have that person coaching you on how to get it done, how to keep the fuel mileage up, and all those things, some drivers get arrogant about such things. Some decide they may know a little more, or gee whiz, he hasn't driven my truck, or whatever it may be. John did all the right things. His team did all the right things. And thus, yeah, they got lucky. But that's not luck. That was brilliance in doing the job right.
Absolutely. So, all right, Reverend Joe, well, I appreciate you taking the time out, coming on a little bit, staying a little bit longer, talking about what you got going on or had going on this weekend. Are you going to be able to make it out to Phoenix for the next to last event for the Sprint Cup Series this year?
I'm planning on it. Some of the money came in this weekend. I'm still a couple $100 short to be comfortable to make the trip, but we're going to do our darndest. It's, you know, 90% of the ministry money comes out of my own pocket. And with the knee replacement surgery I had a few months ago, I didn't get a chance to do any side work at all. That's where I pick up my nickels and dimes in order to get to these events. So it's been tough and it's been tight. But if we can get a few more dollars together. I've got enough money to go, and what looks to me like half enough money to make it back. So having faith in God, probably go either way, but it's a tough thing, and it doesn't happen cheap, and all it takes is one flat tire, and the whole business is out the window, because in Phoenix we use our motorhome, and generally I go out there all alone. They've got a great campground there. It's very reasonable. It's a nice campground. We have a great time there. So we should be in Phoenix, be able to visit with everybody again and get you back with a good report.
All right, Ian, before I let you go, I'm going to bring Tim back in here. That way he doesn't get left out of the conversation.
Thank you very much, Stephen, for taking care of that. I don't know what the issues are. Thank you very much, Stephen. I don't know what the issues are, but yeah, Reverend Joe, thank you again. And Stephen, if you want to go ahead and cover the National Temple World Trust Series, and then we'll play the Media Center interview with John West Talley before Reverend goes, if you want to do that right quick, buddy.
All righty, guys. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Reverend Joe. Talk to you later. So we'll run down this real quick. And the Camp World Truck Series out there in the Rhino Line is 350 out at Las Vegas Motor Speedway there on Saturday night. John West Talley, your winner out there, his first NASCAR National Series victory in 87 attempts in the Camp World Truck Series. His first victory in 2015 is also his first victory there at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Timothy Peters, your second place finisher, and Ben Kennedy finishing third out there. John Hunter Nemechek finishing fourth, and Eric Jones leading the points, yet Matt Crafton this week still nipping away at the points lead, down to four now. So he's been cut back in again this week. The points battle getting ever so close as we head ever so closer into Homestead Miami for a Ford Championship weekend in just a matter of a couple of weeks.
And, Stephen, let's see what our top of the hour guest, winner of the Rhino Lions, putting on there at Las Vegas North Philly. Let's see what he had to say in the media center this past Saturday night at Vegas.
We'll go ahead and continue with our post-race press conference for tonight's Rhino Linings 350. We are now joined by our race winner, John West Townley, crew chief Michael Shelton, and Athenian Motorsports team manager Mike Hamlin. John, first career win here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. How does it feel?
Amazing. This is awesome. Wow, when I saw Crafton, I think he ran out of fuel. I remember thinking, I mean, to this point, it's my race to lose. And, I mean, I was just really, really trying to be conservative. And I don't think I would have been able to be conservative enough if it hadn't been for my spotter. I mean, I really ever to Terry Cook up on top there. I just, man, it was the hardest 5 laps of my life. I was trying to modulate the throttle pedal, but my natural instinct is to just press it all the way down. So, I'm glad I didn't do that.
All right, Michael, from a crew chief's perspective, I know there was a lot of fuel strategy there at the end. Talk about those closing laps.
Well, we were actually good to the number, actually a half lap to the good. We were hearing the 88 and the 13 both started talking about pitting, and I didn't know if they were serious or not, so we just kind of kept the pressure on the 88, and then once we heard that he was pitting, we just backed John down, kind of a precautionary measure there. But I mean, we had a great truck, really, from the time we unloaded. Just hats off to all the help we get from Chevrolet and all the guys back at the shop and Zach.
Yeah, 10-4 on that. I got to thank Zaxby's and Hendrick Horsepower. I mean, Hendrick truly made the difference this year. And of course, I got to thank Zaxby's for sticking with me all these years. It's been a long time coming.
All right, and Mike, first win for Athenian Motorsports as well. Talk about the year that you guys have had this season, running top 10, and then the win here tonight.
Well, this is
You should be okay.
Okay. We made some big changes over the off season, and we felt like coming into this year that this was potentially going to be our year to get our first win. You know, once once you build the right kind of equipment and put the right kind of team members in place to be able to put the thing together in such a way that, you know, you can go out and win races, you know, it's just coming to the racetrack and doing the best you can every week after that, you know, to try to get there. And I can honestly say I knew this day was going to come this year. There was times when it felt like it wasn't, but I was confident we'd get here.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. If you'll please state your name and affiliation. Questions for our race winners. We'll go to Chris Knight, and then here up front.
Chris Knight, catch 1,000. Congratulations to you guys. Really happy for you. John, your dad and your grandpa, two of your biggest supporters, weren't here tonight. Have you talked to them yet? And if you did, what did they say?
I did talk to my dad. he'll probably come to the racetrack next time. I'll say that much. I don't know. But I understand, though. It is a long way for them to come out there here. And man, what a night it was.
All right, we'll go up front.
Tom Zaleski, I ain't coming today. John West, congratulations, man. That had to be, as you said, it was insane. Those five laps were completely insane. What are you thinking in that truck as you're watching Crafton go to pit road? I mean, did it feel like a dream, surreal? And are you going to eat any more A's and Zaxby's come tomorrow?
That last part, what was the
last part? Are you going to eat any Zaxby's food tomorrow?
You know what? We fly out tomorrow, and as soon as I get back, that's going to be my first stop to answer that part. But yeah, when I saw Crafton pulling off the track, I mean, my heart lit up. But at the same time, it kind of sank a little bit after I saw him pull off, because I'm like, well, I feel like he may have kind of been on a similar fuel strategy that we are, and now I might be on next on the chopping block. So I was excited, but I was worried at the same time.
Steven, any thoughts on that interview there from Las Vegas Motor Speedway in the media center, John West County? It seems like here lately, I know you and me, you and I have been texting a lot lately, a lot of fuel mileage stuff going on, but.
Yeah, it did come down to a fuel mileage race, and I think we'll get into a lot of this when we do have John on in just a little bit here coming up at the top of the hour, and I think we can get into a little bit more of that, but I think we'll just roll on to the Xfinity and the Cup Series for right now and get talking about what happened there at Dover.
All right, I got you, but I'm going to roll over into the Xfinity Series still up here. Reagan Smith won the 30th annual 9th Cent 200 and 6th victory in 197 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. This is his second victory in 21st top 10 finish in 2015. This is his first victory in 5th top 10 finish in 12 races at Dover International Speedway. His previous best finish at Dover was 3rd earlier this season back in the spring. Denny Hamlin finished 2nd. This was his 7th top 10 finish in 11 races at Dover International Speedway in his 9th top 10 finish in 2015. Kyle Busch finished 3rd, posting his 15th top 10 finish in 20 races at Dover International Speedway. He has finished in the top 5 in every race he has started since returning from injury in May. I mean, whoa, Steve, I mean, what can you say? I mean, the Gibbs bunches, they got something going on. But Chris Buescher leads the point standings by 24 points over Chase Elliott. I mean, you know, we've got a lot going on there with that. And just to throw that, there was four cautions for 29 laps. Lead changes was 5 among 4 drivers. And come back in, I'm not going to go through the infraction sheet for his, but the point standing, just like I said, Chris Buescher leads Chase Elliott by 24. And then you got Reagan Smith coming in there. Ty Dillon, he had a little bit of trouble this week. Finish out your top 10, 5th with Elliott Salas, 6th, Dale Wallace Jr., 7th, Daniel Suarez, 8th, Brian Scott, 9th, Brendan Gaughan, and 10th, to round out your top 10 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series points is Ryan Reed. And let's see what race winner had to say. Race winner had to say in the media center there at Dover.
And now we will be joined by Jason Burdett. I tell you what, can we check your ID if we can see your card and identification, please?
I wish he'd have been up there for the last 20 laps.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to be up there.
I'm sure you didn't. Great race today. what was the difference after the rain delay, getting your driver on the wheel, but what was the difference in the car?
I mean, I think, honestly, the biggest difference was just that last restart. You know, he did a great job, and he got to the lead. And then, you know, clean air is king, as they say, you know. So once we got out front, we had a good car, and he was able to pace the 20 and the 54 there. And, you know, I think the 20 had one run at him, and he did a great job holding him off and you know, bringing it home for the victory.
Good deal. Now we'll go back. We'll start with Kyle. And if you have questions for the real Jason Burdett.
Apparently I got punked, so but it happens. Jason, Kyle Magda, Race Chaser Online. I asked Jordan this a few minutes ago, and I'll ask you this now. When Regan first took the lead after the restart with about 80 laps to go, were you worried at all that the 20 or the 54 could pass him and catch him at one point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first half of the race, obviously the 20 and the 54 were the class of the field. You know, the clean air makes such a big difference in how fast, you know, your car can go. So I honestly knew if we got out into the clean air that we had an opportunity to stay in front of them, because it's really tough to pass here, especially after the rain delay. The track doesn't really get, you know, real wide. You know, it doesn't they don't get the rubber down in the second groove and all that, so it's hard to work somebody off the bottom.
Good deal. And now we are joined by also the real race-winning driver of today's race.
Is this the real Jason Burdett?
This is the real. We have visual confirmation.
I said you stole my hard card. To get in. I heard you got pumped. No, something I didn't. They did. They were asking questions.
Regan, congratulations on winning the 30th annual Hisense 200. Your sixth victory in 197 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. Your second victory and 21st top 10 finish of 2015, and just a great day for Junior Motorsports, putting you back into the championship conversation, the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Can you talk about the difference between the first half of the race, the second half of the race, and what got you to victory lane?
Well, we had four good tires the whole second half of the race. We didn't have any flats or anything. You know, our race car was good. It started off and I felt like we were just a little free, which we anticipated and thought that would happen. I think we had to tighten up a little bit from the last time here, both pre-race as well as during the race. But once I got that flat tire, we went in the back, and I had about five laps catching a couple cars after I cleared all the lap cars of the clean air. I realized how good the car was. I said, man, this thing's pretty darn sporty. And just started clicking them off one at a time and passing cars, and we tuned on a little bit. I don't even know what the last adjustment we made was with 90 to go or whatever it was when we stopped, but whatever it was, it worked. I think the clean air helped that, but a fast pit stop, you know, that got us out in fourth, and that was, you know, kind of the key moment was restarting in fourth. My plan was to just try and clear the 54 and hope that when the 20 and the 1 got battling, I could get by the 1 and see if I could keep up with them and at least separate those two cars. And, you know, I was able to he spun his tires, did whatever he did, and I was able to be right on the 1's bumper. I thought I was going to pass him going into turn 1, but I had to get back in line to make sure I didn't mess up the restart deal and get out of line too soon. And when I did, that allowed him to get down and block me. And, you know, once I finally cleared him, he was, you know, as I said, he was on two tires. I knew I was going to clear him at some point relatively quick. I kept looking in the mirror a couple times, and finally I said, hell, I'm just not going to look in the mirror anymore because he's not really catching me, meaning the 20. And, you know, started focusing on traffic. I had one moment where I got caught up in the lap traffic just a little bit, and he got a run, and I absolutely didn't want to let him get by me right there because I knew if he got out front, I wasn't going to be able to pass him and vice versa. After that, you know, they started saving some fuel, so I started doing the same and just tried to manage that 10 to 15 car length gap. I didn't want it too close at the end because I didn't want to have to work that hard. I was working pretty hard anyways, so I didn't want to have to work any harder than what I already was because I might have made a mistake. But, really fulfilling win just for a lot of reasons, but in particular with this group of guys, with Jason as a crew chief. He's, you know, he's worked hard all year and been really good for this team, been really good for me as a driver. And he finally yelled at me last week. I've been telling him to yell at me all year long, and he yelled at me last week, and I was quiet on the radio today, so it must have worked.
Good deal. Let's open the...
Stephen, any thoughts there on the media center interview there at Delaware International with Reagan Smith and crew chief Jesse Burdett?
Well,
what most people didn't get out of that interview and what was cut out of that interview is that right before Jason Burnett did show up in the media center, a fan did walk into the media center and sat down on stage in NASCAR and went ahead and started the media interview. The fan did get asked, I think it was two or three questions by the media, by NASCAR and the media that was there, failing to notice that it was not the real Jason Burnett, the crew chief for Regan Smith in the number 7 car out there. When they did eventually realize that it was not the right Jason Burnett, and he showed up there in the media center to do his obligatory media time in there, the fan was eventually removed out of there, and he went on ahead and did his media interview. So that's what the side comments on being punked in the media center were about, and being the real Jason Burnett.
I wondered what the hell went on. I was sitting there, you know, which I didn't actually watch the video of it from NASCAR media. You know, I just listened to it, and I thought, what in the world is going on? But thank you for clarifying that, Steve. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
yeah, it kind of got cut out, and it did get cut out there, and it was reported a little later on in that what did happen, how the fan was able to get into the media center and make his way to the stage out there was unknown, but you know, he was eventually removed. He did answer a few questions, and it's just another funny story of things that have happened. But anyhow, we cannot laugh about it today and go on and talk about what happened in the Sprint Cup Series out there. We cut some drivers out of the championship chase contention out there. Obviously, one of the biggest names in the sport got cut out and is not going to go and contend for a 7th championship this year over a $5 part failure. So well, I guess we can get rolling on that. AAA 400 there at Dover International Speedway out there. The man that had his back against the wall, needed a win, got the win. Kevin Harvick won out there in the 46th annual AAA 400, and his 31st victory in 531 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series events. He needed that victory, and he controlled his own destiny by getting that victory. This is the second time in 2 years in this championship chase that he needed a victory to move on, and this year he needed to continue contending and to back up his championship from 2014. This is also his third victory in 23rd. Yes, his 23rd top 10 finish of 2015. And if you want to know the last time that he won a race, most people will be surprised in the fact that it was in March, 24 races ago, all the way back at Phoenix. He's been running very well all year long, but yes, it was a long time ago, 24 races. It seems like an eternity for him, even though that he's been running so well. Kevin Harvick was also the single lap leader in the race, leading 355 laps. This also beats his previous lap led record of 272, which came on March 6th of 2006 at Richmond International. And this is his first victory there at Dover International Speedway. Kyle Busch finished second, which also got himself into the chase. He was another driver that needed to post a very good finish out there. Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished third. He was able to get himself into the chase by beating out Jamie McMurray in a tie by virtue of his win. Jamie McMurray did not have a win this year, so Dale Earnhardt Jr. was able to take that place in moving on. Those advancing into the contender round this year and seated in this order will be Matt Kenseth, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Carl Edwards, Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, Jeff Gordon, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Ryan Newman, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Kevin Harvick. The following drivers have failed and to move on and are eliminated: Jamie McMurray, Jimmy Johnson, Paul Menard, and Clint Bowyer.
You know, Stephen, you bring up a good point. Jimmy Johnson, the golden horseshoe that everybody talked about, I don't know what happened, but, I mean, there was, you know, you and I, you know, we were texting back and forth through the whole race there at Dover for the AAA 400. I mean, there was, I mean, it was, I love the way NASCAR has done this chase. I mean, because, I mean, it's just so exciting to sit there and watch. After one pit stop you're in, the next pit stop you're out, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean that's the whole thing is that even on the track, Jimmy McMurray and Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, one lap they were swapping positions. If Jimmy McMurray had finished in front of Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jimmy McMurray would have been in and Dale Earnhardt Jr. would have been out. That's the beauty of the way that the chase and the drama has unfolded on the track, and especially when we come into these cutoff races, the contention in these races are and the drama are just so much more than you would get at another event. Now you're going to come down, and we're going to cut them off there at Talladega, and then we're going to cut them off again at Phoenix. So we're going to be looking at some of these races coming up. That as we move through, we're going to, you know, there's some drivers in here that we're going to have to start questioning the fact of where and how are they going to get their wins. Obviously, the Gibbs guys, are all of them are in. They're continuing to be the strongest of the pack. You know, Kevin Harvick, he squeaked his way in. Now he's got a couple of – now he's in contention. He's good for at least this round. He should be okay. He's got a couple of tracks where he can potentially win at, Charlotte coming up this week. But then again, you've got guys like Jimmy Johnson who could be a spoiler, who is known to win there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So that takes a win away. What happens then is, see, this is the beauty of the chase that we got coming up throughout the next 7 races, and this is why I think the drama and the way this whole format is really starting to unfold in the way that NASCAR has positioned itself in creating the way that this whole atmosphere of the way these drivers race and the way that they work themselves throughout the next 7 races is really going to be interesting on how it all unfolds.
Exactly. And the Gibbs bunch, just like you said, Joe Gibbs Racing, Matt, Joey, Carl, I mean, they've all blossomed here. I mean, you know, I mean, everything's going well. But, Steve, before we come up here on top of our, you know, when we got our guest winner out there in Vegas, John Westcounter, let's see what Kevin Harvick had to say in the media center at Dover International Speedway.
Okay, we're going to continue on into our winner's press conference here for today's 46th annual AAA 400, joined now by race winner Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Budweiser Jimmy John Chevrolet for Stewart Haas Racing. Today, Kevin led a single race career high, 355 laps. His previous high was 272 laps led at Richmond on May 6th of 2006. Most importantly, he delivered yet another clutch performance in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup, winning his way into the Contender 12 round. Kevin, walk us through this race today, and with all the pressure that you had going into this race, just talk about your performance and yet another clutch performance for the 14.
Yeah, I don't think there was really any pressure. I think, you know, for us, we all knew what we had to do, and you know, it's really no different preparation than what we would do on a weekly basis. So, you know, all in all, it was business as usual, and I think when you look at the first 3 Dover races that we've had here, it was definitely right in line with the things that we had done here before. Just didn't have any problems today, so just really, really proud of my group for getting the last little bit out of everything that they could. Everybody was flawless on pit road and up top, and everything just went well.
This is also the 750th win for Chevrolet. The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. What's it like to bring home that record for Chevrolet?
Yeah, well, Chevy's been a big part of our sport and obviously been very successful. So just really, really proud to be a part of that, and hopefully we can be a part of a few more.
Outstanding. We are going to open the floor to questions. We'll start with Jeff, and then we'll go to Kenny, and then to George.
Jeff Cook from USA Today. I know you said there was no pressure, and you're just going out to do what you can do, but at the same time, I mean, you haven't won since March, and you've had a ton of good cars and a lot of great weekends and haven't been able to put it together. So it's clearly winning is not easy, even if everything falls right. So how can you explain what happened today in terms of it was a high-pressure situation, even if you didn't feel it? How did your team and you rise up to this level to deliver a clutch win like this?
Yeah, I don't really, believe that we did anything different. We've led a lot of laps at a lot of different races, and it's like I've told you guys, these things go in cycles. The circumstances today were pretty straightforward. We didn't have any crazy endings, and we just came in, put tires on it, and we're fortunate to have a couple lap cars in between us a couple times to just have a straight up race. So I think as you look at last week, led a bunch of laps and didn't think it was close, and then wound up the car not having enough fuel in it because it just didn't get enough fuel in it. So we did everything the same way last week. We've been in these situations a lot this year and haven't pulled it off, but there's no way to get frustrated. I mean, if you're going to get frustrated over running like we've run this year, you're probably going to be a detriment to your team. For us, it's something to where you show up on Monday and you do the same thing, whether you win or lose. And we've been through winless periods before, just like last year, and we've been through periods where we've won races in consecutive races. So it's just the nature of this team and what they do, and the character of it is deep. And they all believe in each other, and when you have a group of people like this, and it doesn't do things out of the ordinary for situations like this, they just look at it as another task at hand.
Go to Kenny, and then the George, and then the Kyle, the gentleman right over there.
Kenny Bruce of NASCAR.com. Kevin, I can understand, I think, why you don't feel like it's really a pressure situation given what your team's been able to accomplish and what you know you guys are capable of, but what do you consider to be a high-pressure situation? What would that be like for you?
Probably stepping into Dale Earnhardt's car. That was pretty high. There'll never be anything close to that one, so I think that'll supersede any of these situations by a long way. So when you look at the sport's biggest hero gone, you look at millions of race fans that are dependent upon somebody to drive that car, and you have 350 people that have jobs and families, and you're their guy. Never done it before, but good luck. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
George.
Yeah, George Diaz, Orlando Sentinel. Sorry, we're kind of keeping the pressure theme going here, but you've had a number of these, as you called them last year, walk-off moments. Do you kind of embrace being in these situations as opposed to being, in good shape other than,
The payoff when you get in these situations is the rush that you get out of these types of situations just from the situation itself throughout the day, and the moments are something that are a lot of fun to be a part of. Obviously, you don't want to be in these situations, but no matter what, when you get to Homestead, you're going to be in this situation. So if you're not ready for it, it'll eat you up. And luckily, I had Tony Stewart and a lot of experienced people to help me through that week last year, because it was a lot different. And I think that those comments and suggestions of how you handle your week have just rolled over into things that we've done this year, and just don't let those types of situations overwhelm you. I think that's Zipadelli's pretty standard line, is don't let this week overwhelm you, because it'll be the detriment of you if you don't pay attention and keep yourself at bay. So just a lot of experienced people.
And just to touch a little bit there on on that, Stephen, if you want to, let me bring you back in. Pressure. I mean, you know, Kevin Harvick, like you said earlier, when we were talking about when we were scrolling through the stats and everything, was just like Brad Keselowski last October here at Talladega in the Aaron's 499. He had to win to get in. And Kevin Harvick touched on not only the pressure with him having to win to get in at Dover, but the pressure he had to get in that car after Dale Sr. Got killed at Daytona, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge, huge thing. I mean, how does a guy that's coming out of what was, you know, the Busch Series back then and stepping into something like that, you know, the week after you go into Rockingham and here you are sitting in a car like that the week after it happens, you know, you've got the media surrounding you, you've got the fans surrounding you, you've got all eyes in the world looking and descending upon you. And now you're the center of attention. That is a huge pressure cooker, not only just for you, but everybody around you on the team on how you're going to perform, what you're going to do. But then, you know, you come out of that, you perform well, you become a NASCAR champion, and then you get backed against the wall just as this weekend in Dover. And here this guy sits in the media center, calm, cool, collected, as if it's just another day in the office for him.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, and I could not imagine. I mean, I couldn't. I mean, you know, Steve, you know, you and I, you know, we're under pressure all the time at work, but I want to throw this out there, and I'm not trying to make a funny, but I'm going to be under a little bit of pressure tomorrow, if you know what I'm talking about, Steve. I got a race. I'm going to a Tyler Super Speedway media event over in Bessemer, Alabama. It's Audubon Indoor Speedway that just opened about 3 weeks ago. I'm going to be under some pressure. I got a race against Daniel Hamrick and Timothy Peters, but I mean, that's no pressure, you know, considered to what they're going through. But I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, at least you're on a closed, confined course and not sitting up on them high backs, you know, 4 or 5 wide out there with a restrictor plate, you know, out there in the draft, you know, about 4 lanes deep. I mean, it's a little bit different for you.
Yeah, thanks, bud. But yeah, I want to thank Talladega Super Speedway if I can, but you know, coming up here on top of the hour, you know, we're going to bring John was telling him, but I want to thank Talladega Super Speedway and Russell Branham and Grant Lynch and all them for inviting me over there to that media event. It's going to be awesome. From what I understand, they're going to let the media, we're all going to race first. We're going to practice and race. Well, first we're going to eat. We're going to have some Dreamland barbecue and we're going to eat, and then we're going to ask Daniel Hemick and Timothy Peters some questions and get that going on. And after that, they're going to let us practice and race on the track, and they're going to crown a media champion. And to tell you the truth, Stephen, I don't know if you've Googled this Audubon Speedway, but these go-karts we're going to be racing are going to be going 50 mile an hour plus. I had to sign a release just to actually get in there. And after that, they're going to, you know, like I said, they're going to crown a champion. And then they're going to draw for 2 media members to actually race against Daniel Hamrick and Timothy Peters. So they're not going to let them get any time on the track, but I really don't think that's going to matter, Stephen. I mean, you know, they grew up in go-karts and all that, too.
Yeah. Well, you have fun out there tomorrow. You have a lot of fun, and that should be fun racing against Timothy Peters and Daniel Hamrick. And Timothy Peters is a Virginia boy, so don't you forget about that. He comes from right here from the state of Virginia, so it's going to be fun out there.
If I'm lucky enough to get the draw to race with him, you know, just like you told me, I'm not going to Days of Thunder, Rubens Racing.
That's right.
All right, Steven. We're going to take a break here and going to wait on our guest, John West Townley, winner of the Rhino Linings 300 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. We're going to play a little song, and we'll be right back to the pit stop with Timmis Bain and Stephen Wilson.
It was the summer before the real world started, and the deal was we would get to go if we cleaned it up and got it run. That is old Winnebago, and winging a prayer down a 65. My best friend on four ball ties. I can still see Billy smiling when we finally made it to Talladega. Boys raised us, whiskey and gold glass. Now here's the turning up, I'm slowing down, the cars that go real fast. We were laughing and living, drinking and wishing and thinking as that checkered flag was waving. Sure would like to stay Talladega. Like a stone, time rolls on. You can't hit pause, asking just to do. Most days in life don't stand out, but life's about those days that we all lack. Rockin' Randall, getting rowdy, shooting Roman candles at the man in the moon, till the Alabama sun was breaking.
Cars going to do 120 mile an hour plus around this 3/8 mile oval.
here at Talladega Super Speedway. And to talk a little bit about what I'm going to tomorrow, I've got invited to a media event over in Bessemer, Alabama at the New Autobahn Speedway. It's an indoor karting facility. Russell Branham and Grant Lynch and a bunch here at Talladega Super Speedway, which do a great job. I'm going to get the opportunity to race against NASCAR Tampa Royal Truck Series drivers Daniel Hemric and Timothy Peters, which won the race here at Talladega Super Speedway last year in October, the Fred's 250. So if anybody wants to talk about anything that I'm recalling, it's 215-383-3681. And let's play another song and wait on the break here where we where's my buttons? I can't find my buttons. We're going to play a song and wait on our guest to come up, John Lewistown. Okay, we've got our top of the hour guest, driver of the number 05, Sassy Chevrolet and NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series and winner of the Rhino Alliance 300 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, Mr. John Lewistown. Stephen's bringing him into the pit stop right now. Let's bring John Lewistown with a rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble!
John Lewis, how you doing that, bud?
I'm doing amazing, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for taking time to come out. I know we've had you on our show before, but we appreciate it. And right off the bat, I want to congratulate you on your first NASCAR Camp Ford Truck Series win there in Vegas, bud. We've been pulling for you for a while, bud.
Oh, well, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. You're welcome, bud. You're welcome, bud. I'm going to throw you over to Stephen and let Stephen ask you some questions, and I'll let him throw you back over to me again. But, again, congratulations.
Thank you, man.
So, John, you started out the week, just a week ago, you guys had announced that you were going to take some time off in the Xfinity Series and really focus on the Truck Series side, kind of put a lot of resources into that, and it showed this week with a lot of dividends. You qualified very well coming into Las Vegas, and you were able to go out there and battle very well all weekend long out there with Matt Kraft and come down to a lot of fuel mileage. You were talking with in the post-race interviews about having Terry Cook really being on your side out there, helping you out throughout the race. Talk a little bit about, what you guys have really gone through to build this team up over the last year and a half or so, and getting to this point on to your first win in NASCAR in the Camping World Truck Series there at Las Vegas this past weekend.
I will say this, I mean, our team is still very, very new, and the direction we were going in with the Xfinity Series was probably just not on the level it really needed to be for the amount of races that we were running. So we felt it was necessary to step back and kind of focus on quality races more than quantity. That's exactly what we're doing. Coming off of a win this week is really exciting for Zach's season. But we are still kind of pressing forward a little bit in the Xfinity Series. We're racing the Charlotte race this weekend. Our truck team is going to be handling that for us. But we're pretty confident that it's going to go well. We won't know until we see it. Right now, everybody's just so stoked about the win this past weekend. It's really awesome. I'm still on cloud nine about it.
And this season in the Truck Series, you've as a small team, and this is really hard when you have to compete against guys that are coming obviously from the KBM stables or Thor Sports stables. You guys have been able to even rack up some top fives and top tens out there competing against those guys. Talking with you and talking with your team, you guys are putting forth an effort to compete against those. Where are you guys looking at to build upon those top fives and top tens this year and looking towards the rest of this season and looking forward to the 2016 season?
Well, I mean, having the consistency is very important for our points standings. Right now, I want to say we're still seventh or eighth. I think it's eighth. But at the end of the season, I would like to possibly end up fifth or sixth. I would like to move up at least two or three positions. But we'll have to see what's possible. Those consistent runs are just really, really important, and that's kind of what we're driving towards.
And I know this past weekend, we were just talking to Ben Kennedy's crew chief just a week prior, and out there at Las Vegas, one of the things that really amazed me, and we were talking with his crew chief, was a lot of the drivers out there and a lot of the crew chiefs were talking about how when you go to a place like Las Vegas, a lot of times the crew chiefs and the drivers will try and take as much downforce out of these trucks as possible. They will ride them on the rail as much as they can to get as much speed out of them as almost as possible out there. And we saw in the fast speed, obviously in the qualifying and obviously in the race pace that was out there all week, throughout the event, you were able to come from, fifth, sixth, I believe it was, on a restart and go out there and battle out to Matt Kraft and those guys out in front with very much of ease. Is that something that, you know, you were looking forward to, and that kind of comes into your driving style of being able to be on these low downforce type of tracks that you can go and battle, you know, with those style of drivers?
Well, high downforce, I would say medium to high downforce in a track like Las Vegas. I would say you're definitely just my drive. Las Vegas is one of those tracks where you can go out there and you can push the truck or car, whatever you're in, and you can kind of get away with it. Because the surface of the racetrack is not quite as abrasive as some other tracks may be. I mean, it's forgiving, and when tracks are forgiving like that, you can push it and get up and race around guys without, you know, worrying about stepping out on you. And that's what I think. I mean, that's what I consider to be a racy racetrack. It definitely is. Downforce is definitely important there, but I mean, I think for us, what was most important was being able to get through the bumps in one and two. That's just a notorious part of the racetrack, and we were struggling with that in practice for a while. But Michael Shelton and my engineer Troy landed on something in the suspension in the front of the truck that really helped us out down there, and made the truck a whole lot more stable.
You've won an ARCA series with Venturini, you've won in the Campy World Truck Series, and you've talked a little bit about how that you're looking for the consistency, looking to move up into the points prior to the end of the year for a couple more positions. What is your next logical step in the process of the NASCAR series as a whole, and where you would like to continue moving forth in your natural progression?
Well, I mean, I definitely want to win a lot more truck races. I really want to contend for the championship next year. And I mean, I've definitely got aspirations to run some more extended races in the future. But like I said before, I want them to be quality races, you know, not just quantity races. I think that we were so focused on, you know, going to a racetrack and just, you know, focusing on getting through it and not really focusing on bettering ourselves for the next racetrack. And that's really tough to do, you know. It's easy to get into that rut of doing that, because there are a lot of racetracks on the circuit that you don't necessarily go back to until the next year. So it's like, okay, we're just going to get through this race so we can get to the next race. And that's not a productive mindset in order to better yourself. I think I definitely want to just be able to plant my feet and make sure that I'm good and comfortable where I am before I really step it up too quickly, if that makes sense.
And my final question, as a team, as an independent team out there, and, you know, we talk a lot about independent teams and how hard it is to compete, obviously, and, you know, we touched on this just a little bit prior. I know you guys, I believe, get your engines and your power plants from Hendrick Motorsports, but, you know, when you have to work with, you know, being an independent team, you as a driver, and I know your dad is, you know, working with the team and building the team as yourself is, when you guys have to, you know, work through that, what is the hardest part that you guys feel is to move to the next level, move to the next step in order to ensure yourself the next successful step in the Camping World Truck Series or if you in the Xfinity Series?
Well, that was bracket of cars. Unlike in the trucks, I mean, you know, every now and then you'll have guys from the Cup Series come in and try to race, you know, maybe like 5 or 10 Cup-affiliated teams will come in and bring a truck.
of the races, but in the Xfinity Series, pretty much, you know, every given week there's at least 15 Cup-affiliated teams, if not a few more, in each race. The problem you run into there is you have years and years and years of knowledge and money that's been thrown into engineering programs for those guys, and they can pull stuff from away from their Cup program to implement into the Xfinity cars that they're running. And it just really it puts a strain on teams like Athenian Motorsports because, you know, we don't have that you know, pool of knowledge to draw from. It just it makes it a lot more difficult. I mean, you can only you can throw as much money at something as you want to, but I mean, you need those years and that experience to really learn stuff on the technical side of things. And they just have models, and I could get into it, but it would take me a very long time to explain it.
Well, John, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here and talk to us. Congratulations on your win out there at Las Vegas and NASCAR Camping World Series out there. I'm going to let Tim, I'm sure he's got a couple of questions for you before we let you go out of here. But again, congratulations on your first NASCAR Series national victory.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Stephen. Yeah, this is Tim. John West, you're eighth in points. You're 136 out. But you have had 2 weeks off before you come to Talladega to run the Fred's 250 presented by Coca-Cola here at Talladega Super Speedway. Does that give you time to sort of sit back, relax, gather your thoughts, and, you know, let's see what's going on with the truck?
Well, I mean, it definitely it gives us a little bit of time. But, you know, at the same time, as a team, I don't feel that we can afford to take too much time to relax. Number one, because we're racing the, like I mentioned earlier, we're racing the Xfinity race here at Charlotte this coming week. And also, you know, we don't want to get too relaxed and kind of lose focus on Talladega, because the way I look at it is that's another, you know, grand opportunity to get out there and get win number two. And that's an aspiration that I definitely have, and I know our team has too. You know, it's really easy to kind of get stagnant. You know, once you get a win, it's like you're on top of the world. But you know, you still there's things you can learn from that race that you can. You can apply to the next one. Just keeping your mind and the team pliable to things that can be improved. I mean, that if you don't do that, you know, it's easy to get behind. You know, we want to keep striving forward and potentially get more wins this year.
Yeah, exactly, John West. And we had played your media center interview from there at Vegas earlier, whenever we come on and done our stat stuff and everything. And you said whenever you seen the 88 peel off and went to pit road for fuel, that was sort of an awe. Am I correct?
Yeah, it was, you know, my heart lifted up. It's like, wow. Because at the time, I think we only had like 5 or 10 laps to go, and at the rate I was catching him, I don't think that it was going to be quite enough. But yeah, when he pulled off, and I heard that he was like very, very low on fuel. I think his engine started sputtering. I don't know if it died completely, but I mean, yeah, my spirits just instantly jumped up. But they think a little bit too, because I kind of knew we were on a kind of a similar fuel deal. As it turns out, we did have a lap and a half to spare, so we would have been plenty good. But as far of a lead as we had at that point, we just didn't really want to chance it, just because there was a chance, you know, that lap and a half was going to carry us onto the checkered. But if there had been another late caution, then there was a chance that
that a green white checkered could have not been enough for us to finish. So we were just being as conservative as possible there.
Yeah, I understand, Joe. And as far as which, you know, we talked about a few miles. Steve and I, we've been talking about a few miles in the trucks, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup also too. But as far as tire wear, John, how did the tires wear pretty good? Which I know your truck, whenever you unloaded it, seemed like you was awesome. But how was the tire wear out there, Buck?
You know, the tire wear really wasn't it wasn't as drastic as other, like, if you were to compare it to other tracks, just because the surface out there in that climate, I guess, just doesn't wear asphalt there as much as it does out east where the, you know, humidity is very elevated. Just the surface has kind of stayed the same over the past 4 or 5 years. It's just really friendly to tires. We do fall off a little bit, but it's more so like I would just change my line, maybe move up the racetrack in one corner and still run the bottom, or maybe in both points, just depending on how the truck is set up that particular run. Really makes it interesting. Well, it's kind of like what I was talking about earlier. I mean, it's just a really fun racetrack. You can go out there and whether you're running high or low, or whether you've got 10 laps or 30 laps on your tires, you can still go out there and hustle that truck and don't really have to worry about it stepping out as long as you don't do anything crazy.
Yep. And, John, I know your time's limited, but I have a very, very important question. I am going to Talladega Super Speedway is putting on a media event over in Bessemer at the new Autobahn indoor racetrack with his go-karts. They run 50-plus. I'm going to get the race against Daniel Hamrick, and I know you have. I'm going to get the race against Timothy Peters. What do I need to expect, or I need to just put them in the wall? Or what do I need to do tomorrow?
I wouldn't worry about those guys. They're actually some of the nicest guys in the business. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'd actually like to know more about that. Maybe my spare time will come out there and check it out.
Well, check out my Facebook stuff, but I post some stuff, and I'll post some pictures from tomorrow. I'm going to go over there, and we're going to eat some Dreamland ribs and get to interview Daniel and Timothy. And from the way I understand the way Russ is going to do it, the media is going to race first, and they're going to crown a media champion, and then they're going to draw two names, you know, just random, to race against Daniel and Timothy. And I just wanted to know, what do I need to expect? I mean, it's sort of like a road course deal, bud. These things are going to get some yonder. So, I mean, which I really don't know how this is going to turn out, but just like they said in Days of Thunder, rubbing's racing, ain't that right?
That's right. That's right. That's it.
And, John, I want to thank you very much. I know you've got a busy radio schedule, and we want to congratulate you again on your first win in the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series at Vegas and the Reno Lions 300. But we're gonna be in Dega. I will look you up in Dega, and I want to thank Jeff Hood. You tell Jeff thank you for setting us up to get on the show. Steven, do you have any last questions for John West 10?
I don't. Just appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. As I said, you know, like all of us, congratulations on your first national victory in the NASCAR Series.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, John West. And if I get into some trouble tomorrow, I'm going to send you a message on Facebook how I can get rid of Daniel and Timothy.
Here you go.
All right. Take care, bud. Appreciate you taking the time out. Come on the show, just like Steven said. We'll see you in Dega, bud. Be safe now.
Sounds good. See you there.
Thanks. All right. See you, bud. All right, Steven, that was John West Stanley. Let me, I know we're getting late in the show. Let me read over the next, you know, just like I said, the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series has the next 2 weeks off. The next race will be here at Talladega Super Speedway, just about 8 miles from my house, which that's awesome. Schedule up there at Charlotte, Sprint Cup Series qualifying. Friday. Wait a minute, Thursday. Wait a minute, what's today? Yeah, Thursday. Sprint Cup Series qualifying. All times are Eastern, 7:20 p.m. NBCSN has your TV. And then Friday on the 9th, Xfinity Series qualifying at 4:45 p.m. NBCSN has your TV. And then Friday night, the Xfinity Series, Drive for the Cure 300 at 8 p.m. Eastern. NBCSN has your TV. PRN has your radio. And then Saturday, the Sprint Cup Series, AAA 400, the first round of the contender round at Charlotte Motor Speedway, 7 p.m. NBCSN has your TV. PRN has your radio. Steven, do you have any last thoughts, bud? Just like Suzanne said, as long as I don't break my neck tomorrow, Gunner, I'll be okay.
Well, as Days of Thunder, Rubens Racing. Yeah, that's a good one. That's the only thing I can think of. Oh, and make sure when you go back out there, you hit the pace car because you hit every other thing out there. That's it. That's my words of wisdom for the night.
Exactly. That's what I'm going to tell Russell tomorrow. Maybe Grant won't get on me. Steven, thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen Talladega Nights, so I can't quote that movie, but I can quote Days of Thunder pretty well.
I can too. And Steven, I will send you pictures, whatever I can tomorrow. Any media stuff I get from Russell and them that you can post on your site, I will definitely send that to you as soon as I can, bud.
All right, sounds good. You have a good evening.
All right, you too, bud. Good night from Talladega, Alabama.